My name is Haley Kim, and I'm the creator and host of Iconic Businesses of Dallas. Join me as I interview successful businessmen and women around DFW to hear their stories about how they got to where they are today. Get inspired and leave with great takeaways from their experiences that you can apply to your own daily life.
It's about, like they say, taking risks, being able to want to do it, you know, because a lot of people say they're going to do it or want to do it, but they really don't want to do it. Like, you don't see yourself doing it in 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 years. Don't do it, because, you know, a business, it's not like, hey, I'm going to jump in this for a year or two and I'm going to stop. That's a hustle.
This week's guest is Corey Spann, tattoo artist of 16 years and owner of Fourfield Tattoo School in Dallas, Texas. We talk about how he started tattooing as a young child and how he turned his passion into a career. He was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, which pushed him to follow his dreams of owning his own tattoo school. I'm happy to report he is cancer-free and his business is thriving. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today I have Corey Spann, the owner of Fourfield Tattoo School, here with us today. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. Well, thank you so much for being on my show today. So tell us a little bit about yourself, like who you are and about your school.
My name is Corey Spann. I'm from here, Dallas, Texas, specifically Pleasant Grove. I started my tattoo school about January of last year. It's been in the making of a plan for about 3 years. So I just had the platform and the right amount of time and money to go ahead and execute it.
Yeah, and you've been tattooing, you say, for over 15 years?
Yes, ma'am. 16 years exact.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you get into that? Were you always, like, creative as a child?
Or? Yeah. I used to color, try to draw Bugs Bunny, Tasmanian and Devil, you know, the basic stuff in school. Dragon Ball Z, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I work at the first anime tattoo shop in Texas, well, in America now.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's unique and interesting. You don't see that anywhere.
Yeah.
But so what made you, like, how old were you and how did you get into it?
First, I was bootlegging, what you call scratching, in the tattoo industry. I was scratching and I made my first machine. I made that at 12 years old out of an electric remote control car.
Wow.
Yeah, I took the motor apart. If you know about that world, you know how to put it together.
Wow.
Yeah. But then I ended up breaking that one. That one messed up. And I ended up building one out of electric toothbrush. So, and surprisingly, I didn't know what I was doing, but that's the type of machine that I run with professionally today. It's the same motor as the electric toothbrush. I didn't know what I had.
Wow.
I didn't know what I had. I'd probably be rich by now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'd probably be rich by now.
So, like, how did you get your first person to let you tattoo them, right? You're like, here,
man.
I got this electric toothbrush. Let me.
We was kids. So, you know, we was kids and we had our little gang or whatever. So it was just like, hey, put the gang on me, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, and that nobody really cared what it looked like back then. You know, it was just like a mark. You know, you just wanted a mark to say you was, you know, you was affiliated with something, you know.
And then how did that evolve into you going to school and doing it professionally?
Well, actually, I didn't go to school. I actually learned from somebody, which is, you know, like an apprenticeship, the correct way you're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my friends in school ended up getting a tattoo from the guy. And he was like, hey, I got a homie. He needs a little help, yada, yada, yada. And he introduced me to him like that. And that's how I got the real machine. And the dude told me, hey, if you can come back in like a week or two with this much amount of money, so I can get you the supplies and equipment you need. And I came back in 2 days.
So you knew you really wanted to do that at a young age?
Yeah, I told my mom I wanted to do this at 12 years old.
Were your parents like, no,
yeah,
you got to go
like
to like real school and
how it always goes? Like, it was more like, you know, you could do that for fun, but you can't do that as a career, you know, because that was like the early 2000s, you know, so it was like, that was super foreign, you know.
Yeah.
Super foreign.
Yeah, you're right. And now I feel like it's harder to find someone with no tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's looking at your arm to see. I see one.
I got a couple of little ones. I'm not brave enough to do like a big old thing, but.
Yeah, but I mean, it's coming. You know, it's coming. You see doctors, nurses, lawyers, everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody got them. Yeah. I actually tattoo a lawyer and a doctor. They're one of my clients. So it's kind of hard.
So after doing all this, you know, as a tattoo artist, when were you finally like, hey, I should just start my own business?
Honestly, it wasn't like that. It was more like I was a kid, you know, I was a kid. So it was just like, I'm seeing all of this money because, like I said, people didn't really care what they was getting. You know, it was just, hey, tattoo me. You know, like, I know somebody and I was that somebody. So, you know, 40, 50 bucks from 10, 20 people a day, you know, like that's, it make a lot, you know, for
especially for a
15-year-old kid, you know. Yeah. So I'm walking around in school, $2,000, you know, so it was just something like more like that. And I start taking it. I should say I start taking it serious about 17, 18. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where I started at with that.
And then you told me you had the idea of starting a tattoo school a few years back.
The idea I had, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2018. I was diagnosed with cancer. So I just had, like, nothing but time to just kind of sit back and reflect, see what I'm going to do. You know, because it was a point to where, you know, I thought I was going to die. So, you know, I hadn't left nothing. You know, I had left no legacy, no nothing, you know. Uh-huh. And I just always felt like I had my first tattoo, quote unquote, shop/tobacco shop at 19. So it was like more of, you know, I could be another tattoo shop owner or you're going to really make a mark in the industry, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to just be another tattoo shop owner. So, you know, I didn't even know that we was the first tattoo school in Texas until one of my friends, she told me, she was like, hey, I've been looking this up for like 3 days, like, and there's none in Texas. I thought maybe, you know, I just wasn't even basing it off of being the first, no way. So, you know, it was just more like organically trying to help people.
Well, and that's so inspiring because most people, if they're diagnosed with something like that, they don't think about like their goals. They just think about, like, they get into a depression or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to not get into that thought of mind, but, you know, it's also easy enough to get out of it, you know, and people don't think about that part because all you have to do, all you have is time to think, reflect, see what's this, where you go wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I did for a whole year, you know? Yeah. I'd probably watch everything on Netflix for a whole year. Like, seriously, like, it's some shows I don't even really watch TV like that unless it's just like with my girl, you know, I watch it with her or something, or my son, but nothing really just kind of catch my interest no more as far as little stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll be trying to keep my mind elevated, learn more, try to keep on progressing.
So once you had your mind made up that you were going to start a school, what was the first steps? I would imagine there's like a lot of licensing and stuff like
it's
that,
a lot of steps to it. It's a lot of steps. First, the biggest step was trying to find a location, you know. And once we found a location, we started out with like 300 square feet.
Wow.
You know? And we kind of went from there. But the steps were having your own BBP license, which is bloodborne pathogen license, CPR license, and you have to be qualified or under a shop license, which I'm under 1UP Inc. And that's how I was able to open my shop, my school, and get everything, you know, rolling like that. But I wish I would have had a couple more endorsements and, you know, stuff like that. But right now it's just kind of like me, you know. So I feel better about it being organic like that, though.
Yeah, I think when you're growing something, it's better to grow kind of slow. That way you have a grasp on everything.
Mm-hmm. And then I always felt like, you know, if you take something too fast or come too soon or too easy, you know, it's probably not going to stay there long.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to be a student at your school, do they typically have some kind of experience? Or do you get people that just love it but just haven't done anything like that before or what?
Well, typically I always have people that just want to, like, kind of know, like, oh, that look fun, you know, that, like, something I always wanted to do. You kind of just have a free lifestyle, you travel where you want, but, you know, you don't see the downside of it. But if you want to become a student, you know, most of all, you got to be an artist.
Right.
You know, and I have them bring in a portfolio, you know, so I have to see that you're an artist, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, some people, they, you know, they probably dabble with art a little bit, but, you know, it's just not nothing they really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to make artists out of tattoo artists, not regular people out of tattoo artists, you know? Yeah. So
I agree with that. I was going to ask you, like, I think most people, you have to kind of be born with that. I don't think you can just learn how to be artistic and, you know, it's like...
And it's funny you said that. I was talking to one of my students the other day, and we were talking about, like, you have to be born with it. It has to be in you and not on you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's sort of like what we were saying, because you got some people that, you know, they want to do it, but they can draw. But
they, yeah. Then.
They, you know, like, a painter can't, you can't turn a painter into a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
You know? Or you, I mean, you can, but it's very, very uncommon, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, like you say, you have to be all but born to do this, because
yeah.
if you're a cartoonist, you pretty much know how to do cartoons, you know.
Yeah.
If you're a realism artist, you know, with tattooing, you got to learn how to switch it up.
Yeah.
You might do a fairy tattoo and then turn around, the next client walk in, you're doing some prayer hands, you know.
Yeah.
And then turn around and do a name. So, you know, you got to be diverse. I mean, you do have some people that, you know, that's what they do. They only mm-hmm. tattoo this. Like, the owner of the shop I work at, he's a only anime artist.
Oh, okay.
He only does anime, cartoon, pop culture. And there's, like, three more artists in there like that. But me,
okay.
I mean, I like to do whatever. You know, like, I always like to challenge myself and just, like, keep on going, see where I can go, see where I can't go.
What's the favorite? Your favorite piece that you ever did?
I would say my favorite in 2020 would be... I did a back piece, a triple cover-up. It was from the left, right side of her shoulder to the left side of her hip, going all the way down her back. Yeah. So
how long did that take?
3 months.
Wow.
3 months, just off and on, letting this heal, coming
yeah.
back. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get a picture of that from you, and I could put it on my Instagram
sure.
when I post
yeah.
about it. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever, what's like the worst tattoo you've seen someone come in for asking for a cover-up? I always wonder. There's gonna be a lot of bad ones.
It's a lot of bad ones. It's a lot of bad ones. It was a lady, she had like some leopards, like the actual animal, like across her ass cheek, you
oh
know?
Gosh.
And it was like, it was horrible. It was horrible. It was like something I did when I was like 12. Like,
oh man.
It was horrible. But I ended up covering it in it. It looked real good now.
What did you turn it into?
Top view roses, so
wow.
you see the rose from a top view, yeah.
I always wondered how people covered that up. Like, sometimes you see really bad ones.
Yeah.
Like, how?
Well, I mean,
the before and after?
That's the art of it. That's the art of it. You got to be able to be, like I was saying, versatile, you know? You got to
yeah.
be able to do that because, you know, you really can't do a cover-up with an anime tattoo or a Tweety Bird or, you know, something
yeah.
like that. You kind of got to step outside of it. And if you do, you still have to step outside of it with more of a new school feel.
It's amazing to see those good realistic ones or, you know.
Yeah, I like those, though. I like those, though.
I mean, it's hard to even do that on paper. How do you
translate it
yeah.
to skin? Yeah.
Because you've seen the bad ones. I've seen the bad ones with, like, people's faces and, like, the teeth look all, you know, because that's hard to do that part, right?
Yeah, like the mouth and
yeah.
mouth structure.
Oh my gosh, I've seen bad ones.
the hardest thing for me was like trying to capture eyes.
Yeah.
That's what it used to be anyway. You know, trying to capture eyes because, you know, everybody eyes straight. You get this on a person, you pretty much got it.
Yeah.
You know, on a drawing or whatever, you know.
Well, tell us a little bit about your school and where it is and what's like the curriculum like and like how long is the program?
Well, the program is 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
In 6 months, it's 12 hours of your week, three of your days, Monday through Wednesday from 5 to 9 p.m.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So it still kind of give people time to have their day if you work.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, still enjoy your night,
mm-hmm.
you know, 9 to whatever. We located at 211 North Irvay, downtown Dallas, probably like 5 blocks from the Green Building. We're on the 15th floor. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So what's, like, a typical day when you go in? Is it?
Well, a typical day, they have classwork. They have a warm-up. Like, it's literally school. So
mm-hmm.
it's not just, hey, we coming in willy-nilly and on some fake skin, and I'm seeing you on your way. No, like, they literally have to learn, which is my most important thing.
Yeah.
Sanitation.
Yeah.
Sanitation is the biggest thing. Not just because of corona. Fuck corona. You should have been doing that as a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a tattoo artist and you hear this, corona had nothing to do with you being clean. You should have been clean.
Yeah.
They clean up literally every day. They clean their station before they even set up. Clean their water bottles. Clean everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you do as a tattoo artist again. Even if we're not messing with the tattoo machines, that's just a part of warm-up. Setting up, get it repetitive in their mind. So when you set up for a real tattoo, you're not guessing where to go, where's this. it's just almost second nature. You know what I'm saying? They have a warm-up, whether it's a coloring book. Each thing is different. You know, you might have a money sign. I might just throw a regular money sign. And the objective is be creative. And some people might turn the money sign into dollars. Some might, you know, it's just really like be creative on you. I might have just a regular box sitting there, 3D it. That's the assignment, you know. A samurai warrior, color it in full color, you know. It's all kinds of warm-ups, though. Okay. And they do have quizzes. Typically, I don't give homework every night, but 2 days out of the week, probably gonna have homework. Yeah. And homework probably consists of doing lettering, a script, drawing me 5 traditional designs, because if you're a anime artist, I'm gonna make you do something realistic, which is totally out of your field. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's and the good. Reason why I do that, because back to what we were saying, you have to be diverse.
Yeah.
You know, because you might get somebody that just want a cartoon style drawing, but they might want to throw a little bit of realism in there, you know, and that's just a style that we have today in the tattoo industry. People do that. They mix them. So just like Ed Hardy, you know, he mixed Japanese style with American traditional.
Yeah, and true.
The Ed Hardy style is birth.
Yeah.
You know, so people doing their own now. You know, it's 2021. You know, that was 2009 when Ed Hardy was doing that.
Yeah.
So it's a whole nother field now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once someone's done with the program, do you test out or how does that work?
Well, I test them. I test them on like regular stuff that we go through, BBP questions. I just word them different because on the test it's going to be, you know, colloquially worded. And that's why I just kind of test them like through that. And once you have passed the BBP license or whatever, I mean, get your BBP license and CPR license, I try to help you to get in the shop, you know. So it's just not like, hey, I've learned. Where do I go now? I'm just back at the house, you know. Because I worked at 6 shops in the DFW and all around the states. So I try to just try to keep those relationships with those shop owners to be able to pour my students in there. You know?
That's cool.
So we all help each other, you know.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing when you're new. It's like, I don't want to hire you if you don't have experience, but you can't get experience unless somebody hires you. So that's always been a big issue, I think.
But, I mean, the tattoo industry is so much of an oxymoron that, you know, it's like we don't want new people, but we kind of need new people because the old stuff is kind of like getting old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, I'm all but stuck in the middle of it, you know, because I'm still a young artist at 16 years old in the industry, but I've come far enough to see what it used to look like, you know? So I'm kind of like in the middle, like, okay, like, this is new school, this is old school. And I'm, like, right in the middle to where it's like, hey, I understand you, but I also understand you, you know? So.
Which I think makes you a good business owner because you can kind of understand both sides and bring it together kind of. So.
True. Yeah. I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah, that is really neat. Because I kind of get you because I know, I mean, I don't have a bunch of tattoos. I have a couple, but I know some places you go in and they'll be like, well, I'm not going to tattoo that on you or this and that. It's not like the patron can always pick.
Yeah.
Because they're set on that style or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's perfectly cool because, you know, whatever gets you through, whatever kind of, you know, that whatever you feel like, that's your art style.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing I don't try to steer my students away from their style.
Yeah.
But I just try to use their style. Yeah. Diversify and use their style as a weapon. You know?
But I agree that it's truly an art. You're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be a little bit offended too, maybe, if I'm good at this, but then someone keeps trying to make me do something else. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that's not my thing. And I think that's a good thing because you don't want someone that's not confident in doing that style, putting that style on you because it might not be their best work
then.
You know, so. And that's for tattoos forever. So
me and a coworker, we talk about that a lot. Because she's a cartoon artist, you know. People always ask her for photorealism, which is weird. Like, you don't see no photorealism on her page, you know. So why would you ask somebody for photorealism?
Yeah.
But I was trying to explain it to her. Like, people could just, they might only want to know certain thing of, you know, what you're trying to do. But, I mean, it's some people that they literally just don't listen, you know. So
So what's your favorite style to tattoo?
My favorite style to tattoo would be, honestly, I didn't even know I liked it that much, which would be like pop culture, anime, stuff like that, because I don't watch it. You know, it's never been nothing that I like just watched as a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But like being that I've got in this shop, you know, it kind of broadened my horizon. Like, oh shit, like, you know, it's shit that's way better than just the regular cartoon stuff, because, you know, they playing with colors and all of that. So it becomes an art form to me versus just a cartoon that I'm tattooing, you know. Mm. And that's, I would say that's what I like to do right now, you know, like the anime style, because it's cool, it's dope.
It's cute, you know? Too. You
it's
know?
Dope. And, you know, it actually looks nice on skin, you know, yeah. versus just an old Bugs Bunny or old Tasmanian Devil that you see. Yeah, it's actually a cool art form. Shout out to One Up Ink, man.
Shout out. So, and that's where you tattoo, right? You said?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wanted to book with you, how often are you there? And do they just call the shop, or how does that work?
You could book me through the shop, or you could just go straight to the shop page, or you just hit me directly.
Okay.
The shop page is One Up Tattoos Studio. My page is The Sir Corey, and that's on Instagram again, my bad.
Oh, yeah. And I'll list all that on my page too when I put this up.
Okay.
So that way they can contact you either if they want a tattoo or if they want to learn how to tattoo.
Yeah, either way, man. Either way. You can book me through that 859 number, that 214-859. You can call that from the school and you can book me through that number.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not all 5-6 different numbers trying to get in contact.
Yeah. So, besides the obvious of you going through cancer and surviving it, mm-hmm. any other, like, roadblocks or anything difficult you encountered when trying to start your business?
Well, I did have like a lot of backlash from the tattoo industry as far as the older artists. And it was all just directed toward, hey, you kind of showing our style, you know, you kind of giving the industry away for a dollar, you know, like,
wow.
Which is, people don't understand the tattoo industry is so,
like, tight-knit.
It's real tight-knit. Like, I can know you and you fucking in Canada. And I know you, you know? Like, because, you know, it's super small. You know what I'm saying? But the demographic of clients is so big. You know what I'm saying? At the same time. That's what they had a problem with. More of me trying to, quote-unquote, like, in their words, give away the game for a dollar.
Wow.
But if you come and sit in class, you will understand it is not an easy thing. You're not finna breeze through my course.
Yeah, because you're doing it the right way.
I'm doing it the right way. Like, it's shops or places in America that got, like, tattoo schools, but to me, and I looked them up, it's more aimed toward the dollar. You know, one in Shreveport is like $5,700 for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like, my students barely know sanitation. They don't even touch a pencil or a pen in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So how could you learn
to do the entire thing?
In 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, and the only upside of it is $5,700 a person, you know? So in a month, you could be like $12,000. You know,
and then I'm guaranteed that owner is not trying to job place.
Yeah, guaranteed.
You know what I mean?
Guaranteed.
Just like get them in and out.
Get them in and out. You know, it's more of a, like I said, a hustle. You know, more of a hustle. And that's definitely not what I'm trying to do, because my students will tell you it's some days we sit and talk like, hey, what you want to do after this?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, what's your goals after this? Because you're not going to be in my school forever.
Yeah.
Because the ones who are qualified to tattoo, they actually have a booth. And they can take little names and, like a barber school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like a barber school, you could be learning. And once you qualify, you can go do haircuts for $5 and $6 just to get your practice in. And that's how I kind of built it, like a structure like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want it on the level of Texas Barber College, but not so easy to get in like Texas Barber College. Because you could be 17, 18 out of school and go to barber school, and the next year you a barber, and that ain't how it worked with me. Because if you enroll in the school and you just all about the money aspect of it, trust me, I'm going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been down that road to where it's like, hey, I just need to get this money. No, it's an art form, like we keep saying. Like, first off, it's an art form. You're dealing with people's blood. You're dealing with people's health.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing with a lot. So for me to to teach you that. I had to teach you those small things first.
Yeah.
You have to understand that first, you know.
Especially because it's like your name's on it, right? Like, yeah, you train someone, everyone's going to say, hey, Corey's the one that trained me.
Most of all, that's the thing. Like, I talked to one of my students the other day. You know, we kind of got in a disagreement around that subject. Like, hey, you can't do this and you're this much qualified and you're doing work like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not only that, it was on a live model.
Oh, gosh.
So all of my live models, say you're my student and you mess up a live model, I personally have to go fix that.
Yeah.
You know? So because at that point, I can't let you touch them no more.
Yeah.
You know? So you either, now you're going backwards. And we do have a point system. So, you know, to get to even 1 point, it's a lot of work. You know? It goes off of your attendance, which is no excuse for attendance. Your attendance, your homework, classwork, and your payments all have to be up to par for you to keep on moving up the ladder. It's a 6-point system. So
I like how you do the structure with the accountability and then along with mentorship, because I feel like traditionally it's what you have to find somebody that's willing to have an apprentice.
Yes, that's the thing. So many people, like, I was one of those kids, like, going shop to shop and turn down, like, like, nah, we don't want nothing. Some of them just assholes, you know.
Yeah,
some
I was going to say, you just kind of learn what they want to teach you. So if they're lazy or they don't, you know,
that same work habit. Yeah, you develop the same thing. And that's the thing. Like, I don't want them to get comfortable, you know. Like, one of my students, he could do a nice painting. Oh, that's cool. I could love it. Inside, I love it. But I tell them, that's cool, get better. You know? Like, you know, because I don't want you to get big-headed. You can't get big-headed in this industry.
Yeah.
It's something new every week.
Any industry, really.
Yeah, any industry,
like,
really.
I think the second you think you don't have anything to learn, I mean, that's a big problem. Like, I think
even life, in life.
Yeah,
even
lifelong life. Learning.
Yeah.
I was going to say. I get bored when I'm not learning.
Yeah, seriously, seriously.
Because I always want to be better.
Seriously. Even in just everyday thing, like being a good father is a big thing to me.
Yeah.
So, like, even just, like, small stuff like that for me, you know.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
How old is your baby?
He is 4 months, and I got an 8-year-old.
Oh, congrats. Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah. I have an almost 5-year-old girl, and so, yeah, it's been
I got
a challenge,
an 8-year-old.
Love it.
Yeah, man, that industry kind of wild, though. You know, it's, like I said earlier, it's an oxymoron because it's like, hey, don't give away the game, but you could still do an apprenticeship. You know, like, I'm just doing it on a bigger scale with more people. That's
more structure.
More structure.
More safety. I kind of, you know what I mean? I just think that's a little bit safer.
Yeah. I mean, because, like I said, I did an apprenticeship in, well, tried to get an apprenticeship at shops, and they just, like, totally turn you down. Like, it's not that. I just don't know what it used to be, honestly. I don't know if it was because of my ethnicity, because I was going to, like, a lot of white shops. You know, it wasn't no black-owned shops then. Like, you know, it was, and if it was, it was, like, super rare, you know. And then even they was assholes, you know. So it was just like, who do you go to, you know?
Yeah.
So when my homie told me, like, hey, I got this dude, I jumped straight on it, you know? So it was super hard, and the internet wasn't so accessible like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you couldn't just hop on eBay. I mean, you could, but you had to go take your phone jack out the wall and, you know, and put it on there and let it dial up and then go look for something, you know? So it wasn't just hop on your phone and boom, 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 Amazon, send it 3 days later, you know?
It kind of reminds me, because I'm a nurse too, and I did aesthetic nursing for a little bit, and it's kind of like that. You can go to school, and it's like a couple weeks long. You pay a ton of money, like thousands of dollars.
That's crazy.
No one's going to still hire you because you just went to the school. So that doesn't really count as experience.
Experience,
you have to find your own doctor and see if they want to train you, but they don't want to train somebody that has no experience. And so I'm kind of like you, where I got really lucky. I found a doctor that was like, hey, I'll come on over.
That's dope. That's
and so
dope.
That's how I learned how to do it, like directly training with her. And like, it's kind of like how your school does it. You know, I learned about like the safety and all of that before I even touched
before
someone's
even touch
face.
Somebody.
But even so with me, even after I knew all the stuff and learned all of that, I still was scared to do it because I don't want to screw up someone's face, right? Kind of like with tattoos.
Yeah.
At least with injectables, it wears off after a while. But tattoos, it's like...
Oh, it's forever.
Yeah.
It's
forever. So, I mean, I would just be very nervous.
It's the only thing in life that you will literally go to your grave with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, only thing in life. We're the writers of the universe.
Yeah. Straight so up. Be careful what you pick.
Seriously.
So if you can give one piece of advice to someone that wants to start their own business, I mean, something you learned or something you think is important, what would you say it is?
I've been wanting to answer that question a long time. First off, a lot of people, when you starting your business out, a lot of people are just like scared to just kind of jump out there. But what I've learned is when you least ready, that's when you do it. I feel like you should start your business when you least ready to start, or you don't have all the ducks in a row, so to say. It's because it'll make you get there. It'll make you get there. Like, if you only have enough to do this, do it. If you ever heard or know Nipsey Hussle,
yeah,
they say all money in, like, you jump all money in head first. Like, and it's going to push you to be able to, or even want to, succeed. Because if you're just sitting back and you got everything in a row, and then it's like, okay, next step, sit back. Next step, sit back. You know, this next thing you know, you three years into your business, and you know, you're not really progressing like that. So
I totally agree with that. I feel like if you wait until you're ready, you're never going to start because you're never ready.
Because
once you get to that point, it's like, oh, I'll wait till I save up $5,000. And then once you get to $5,000, you're like, well, I need a little bit more.
Nobody's ready. That's the thing. Nobody is ever ready. You're not ready. Then it'd be like, oh, I'm not ready to do that.
You just got
to
do it.
You just have to do it. Now, I've seen that just not myself, but other people that I've encountered. Like, they wasn't ready, and they jumped in, and it was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. It's just like, it's about, like they say, taking risks, being able to want to do it, you know. Because a lot of people say they're going to do it or want to do it, but they really don't want to do it. Like, you don't see yourself doing it in 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 years. Don't do it. Because, you know, a business, it's not like, hey, I'm going to jump in this for a year or two and I'm going to stop. That's a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a difference, a big difference.
Yeah. So, totally agree. That's great advice. And lastly, I love to ask every one of my guests, what do you think is the most iconic business in Dallas?
Most iconic business in Dallas. I'm not sure. I can say it's Dreams Fulfilled Tattoo School. That's about the only thing I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's great to have confidence in your own.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to do big things just because, from what I hear, you're doing things the right way.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much for being on my show. It was so great to hear your story. And
no problem.
I can't wait to see some more of your designs.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got me on Instagram, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, cool,
and I looked at all of it, and I saw the anime. I think it's so cool.
Yeah,
I mean, not just because I'm Asian, but I still
think it's cool. All right.
If you want to see Corey's work or get more information about Fourfield Tattoo School, follow him on Instagram at TheSirCorey and at Dreams4_FieldTattooSchool or call 214-859-3461. You can find Corey at 1UP Ink Tattoo Studio and follow at 1UP Ink_Tattoo Studio. If you liked today's episode, follow me on Instagram at Iconic Business Podcast and visit www.iconicres/podcast to listen to past episodes. Be sure to comment, like, and share so I know you're listening out there. Your support means so much to me. And if you know someone who would make a great guest on my show, DM me or email me at podcast@iconicres.com. This episode was recorded in Dallas, Texas, and edited by Sean Chapman.